We continue now with the revelations of St. Gertrude, thanksgiving for favors bestowed on her. Thou hast added to all these favors, my kind God, by an abundant liberality, that if any one, after my death, considering with how much familiarity thou didst communicate with my unworthiness while in this life, should recommend themselves humbly to my prayers, thou wouldst hear them as willingly as if they invoked the intercession of any other person, provided that they had the intention of repairing their faults and negligences, and that they humbly and devoutly thank thee for 5 special benefits which thou didst grant me. First, for the love by which thou didst freely choose me from all eternity, and which I declare to be the greatest of all the benefits which thou hast bestowed on me. For as thou wert not ignorant of, or rather didst foresee, the corrupt life which I should lead, the excess of my ingratitude, and how I should abuse thy gifts, so that I deserve to have been born a pagan, and not an enlightened human being, thy mercy, which infinitely exceeds our crimes, has chosen me, in preference to many other Christians, to bear the holy character of a religious. Secondly, because thou hast drawn me blessedly to thee, and I acknowledge it to be an effect of the clemency and charity which is natural to thee, who hast won by the attractions of thy caress this rebellious and stubborn heart, which deserves to be loaded with fetters and chains. And it has seemed to me as if thou hadst found in me the faithful companion of thy love, and that thy greatest pleasure was to be united to me. Thirdly, because thou hast united me so intimately to thee, and I declare, as I am bound, that I am indebted for this only to thy signal liberality, as if the number of the just was not great enough to receive the immense abundance of thy mercies. Not that I had better dispositions than others, but on the contrary, that thy charity might be the more signalized in me thereby. Fourthly, that thou hast taken pleasure and delight in dwelling in my soul, and this, if I may so speak, proceeds from the ardor of thy love, which has deigned to testify even by words that it is the joy of thy all-powerful wisdom to stoop to one so dissimilar to thee and so utterly ungrateful. Fifthly, that it has pleased thee to accomplish thy work happily in me, and it is a favor which I have hoped with humble confidence from the tenderness of thy most benign charity, and for which I adore thee with gratitude, declaring, O sovereign, true and only treasure of my soul, that I have in no way contributed to it by my merits, but that it is a pure gift of thy liberality. All these benefits, coming from thine immense charity, and being so far above my nothingness, I am unable to give thanks for them worthily. But thou hast further assisted my misery in exciting others by the most condescending promises to render thanksgiving to thee, the merit of which may supply my deficiencies. For which may all creatures in heaven, on earth and under the earth, glorify thee and thank thee continually. Chapter 21. Thanksgivings for the confirmation of the aforesaid favors. Amongst other things, it has pleased thee, my Lord, in the abundance of thine inestimable charity, to ratify and confirm these favors. On a certain day, as I meditated on and compared thy mercy and my malice, I was filled with extreme joy, even to such presumption as to complain that thou hadst not assured me of these favors by solemn contract. When thy sweet and affable charity agreed to satisfy my objection, saying to me, Do not complain of this, approach and receive the confirmation of my promises. And immediately thou didst open to me with both hands the ark of thine divine love and infallible truth, namely, thy deified heart, and thou didst command me to extend my hand. And I, perverse creature as I am, seeking like the Jews for a sign, and then drawing back thy sacred heart with my hand enclosed therein, thou saidst, Behold, I promise to preserve inviolate the gifts which I have bestowed on thee. However, if I suspend their effects for a time by way of dispensation, I oblige myself by the omnipotence, wisdom, and love of the Trinity, in which I live and reign, true God, through all ages, to recompense thee afterwards threefold. After these most sweet words, as I withdrew my hand, I perceived thereon seven golden circlets in the form of rings, one on each finger and three on the signet finger, which indicated that the seven privileges were confirmed to me as I had asked. Then thy loving mercy added these words, Each time that you acknowledge your unworthiness of my gifts and confide fully in my mercy, each time you acquit yourself of the debts you owe me for these benefits. Oh, how ingenious is thy paternity in providing for thy children, notwithstanding their vile degeneracy and the manner in which they have squandered their substance, falling from innocence and depriving thee of thy rightful worship. Yet hast thou deigned to accept as an offering the reflection I make on my miseries. Do thou, the giver of gifts, the source of all good, without whom nothing is good and nothing is holy, do thou, for thy glory and the salvation of my soul, grant me grace to know my unworthiness of all thy gifts, whether great or little, whether exterior or interior, and in all things to have the most perfect confidence in thy mercy. Chapter 22. How St. Gertrude was admitted to the vision of God, and of the kiss of peace, and other similar favors. I should be unjust in recalling the gratuitous gifts which I have received from thy charitable clemency, if I ungratefully passed over what was granted to my unworthiness by thy most loving clemency during a certain Lent. For on the second Sunday, as they sang at Mass before the procession, the response which commences, Vidi Dominum Faci ad Faciem, a marvelous and inestimable coruscation illuminated my soul with the light of divine revelation, and it appeared to me that my face was pressed to another face, as Saint Bernard says, not a form, but forming, not attracting the bodily eye, but rejoicing the heart, giving freely gifts of love, not merely in appearance, but in reality. In this most enchanting vision, thine eyes, bright as the solar rays, appeared opposite to mine, and thou alone knowest how thou, my dearest Lord, affected not only my soul, but even my body and all my strength. Grant, therefore, that as long as I live, I may prove myself thy humble and devoted servant. But even as the rose is more beautiful and gives forth a sweeter fragrance in the spring when it flourishes than in the winter when it is dried up, and like the remembrance of a joy that is past rekindles in us some pleasure to think of it, so I desire, by some comparison, to declare what I felt in this most joyful vision, to extol thy love, so that if those who read this receive similar or even greater favors, they may thereby be excited to acts of thanksgiving. And I myself, by recalling them frequently, will inflame the negligence of my gratitude beneath the rays of this burning glass. When thou didst display thy most adorable face, the source of all blessedness, as I've said, embracing me, unworthy, a light of inestimable sweetness passed through thy deified eyes into mine, passing through my inmost being, operating in all my members with admirable power and sweetness. First it appeared as if the marrow were taken from my bones. Then my flesh and bones appeared annihilated, so much so that it seemed as if my substance no longer had any consciousness, save that of divine splendor, which shone in so inexplicable and delightful a manner that it was the source of the most inestimable pleasure and joy to my soul. Oh, what shall I say further of this most sweet vision, if I may so term it? For all the eloquence in the world, if employed daily to persuade me, could never convince me that I should behold thee more clearly, even in glory, O my God, the only salvation of my soul, if thou hadst not taught me by experience. I will dare to say that if anything, human or divine, can exceed the blessedness of thy embrace in this vision, as I consider, I may truly say that unless thy divine virtue possessed that person, the soul would never remain in the body after a momentary taste of this blessedness. I render thanks to thee through the union of mutual love which reigns in the adorable Trinity for what I have so often experienced, and that thou hast deigned to favor me with thy caresses, so that while I sat meditating or reading the canonical hours or saying the office of the dead, thou hast often, during a single psalm, embraced my soul many times with a kiss, which far surpasses the most fragrant perfumes or the sweetest honey. And I have often observed thou didst look on me favorably in the condescending caresses thou didst give to my soul. But though all these things were filled with an extreme sweetness, I declare nevertheless that nothing touched me so much as this majestic look of which I have spoken. For this, and for all other favors whose value thou alone knowest, mayest thou rejoice forever in that ineffable sweetness surpassing all comprehension, which the divine persons communicate mutually to each other in the bosom of the divinity. May a like thanksgiving, or if possible, one even greater, be rendered to thee for an extraordinary favor thou hast granted me, of which thou alone knowest, and which is so great that I can neither fully express it by my feeble words, nor altogether pass it over in silence. And lest I should lose the remembrance of it through my frailty, I write this to recall it to my memory and excite my gratitude. But my God, do not allow the meanest of thy servants to be guilty of such an excess of madness as voluntarily to forget, even for a single instant, the gratitude which she is bound to have for the visits which thou hast honored her of thy pure and gratuitous liberality, and which she has received for so many years without meriting them. For although I am the most unworthy of all creatures, I declare nevertheless that these visits with which thou hast favored me far surpass anything that could be merited during this life. I therefore implore thy sweetest mercy to preserve this gift to me for thy glory, with the same goodness with which thou hast so liberally bestowed it, without any merit on my part, so that all creatures may glorify thee eternally for it. Since the more my unworthiness is made known, the more resplendently thy mercy will shine forth. Chapter 23. Recapitulation of the gifts already mentioned. The saint complains of her infirmity and ingratitude. May my soul bless thee, O Lord God, my Creator, from the inmost depths of my heart, and let it declare the mercies with which thy charity has abounded and encompassed me, O my sweetest love. I give thanks, as far as I am able, to thine immense mercy. I praise and glorify the longanimity of thy patience, which has borne with me, while I passed the years of my infancy, childhood, and youth, even until my 25th year, in such blindness and folly, that if thou hadst not preserved me, either by the natural dread which thou didst give me for evil, and an inclination for good, or by the reproofs of others, and by so many aids, and if thou hadst not saved me by thy pure mercy, it appears to me that I would have sinned at every opportunity, either by my thoughts, my words, or my actions, even as if I had been an infidel in the midst of infidels, and as if I had not known, my God, that thou wert the rewarder of good and the avenger of evil, although thou didst choose me even from my infancy, that is, from the age of 5 years, to live in the bosom of holy religion amongst thy most faithful friends. Although thy felicity, O Lord, can neither increase nor diminish, and thou needest not our goods, nevertheless, neither my negligences nor my faults have diminished thy praises, if I may so speak. I, who am so justly bound to glorify thee continually, with all creatures and with all the powers of my soul. Thou alone knowest what I feel concerning this matter, and how profoundly my soul is touched by the condescension towards it. Therefore, O loving Father, I offer thee for the remission of my sins all the sufferings which thy beloved Son endured, from the hour when he wept on straw in a manger, all the sufferings of his infancy, the privations of his childhood, the griefs of his youth, and the bitter sufferings of his manhood, until the hour when he bowed his head upon the cross and gave up the ghost with a loud cry. Furthermore, in satisfaction for all my negligences, I offer to thee, O loving Father, the life of thy divine Son, which was so perfect in every thought, word, and action, from the time when he came down from thy celestial throne to the Virgin's womb, and thence came forth into this world, until the hour when he presented to thy fatherly regard his victorious and glorified body. And because it is just that the heart which loves thee should compassionate all thy afflictions, I beseech thee, for the love of thy only Son, and by the virtue of the Holy Spirit, that whoever, by my request, or from any other motive, shall desire to supply for my deficiencies, either during my life or after my death, for thy glory, even by a sight or by a good work, that thou wilt receive for them also, and for the remission of their sins and negligences, the offerings which I make thee of the conversation and sufferings of thy divine Son. And, that I may effectually obtain my request, I conjure thee to perpetuate my desire to all eternity, and even when I shall reign by thy grace with thee in heaven. I adore and bless with thanksgiving and with all humility thy ineffable charity, O Father of mercies, by which, notwithstanding the disorders of my life, thou hast had thoughts of peace towards me and not of severity, overwhelming me with the greatness and multitude of thy benefits, even as if I had led the life of an angel amongst men. Thou didst commence this work in me during Advent, before I had attained my 25th year, and consummated it on the Epiphany by a certain fear, by which I was so agitated that I began to have a distaste for all the pleasures of youth, so that thus my heart became in some sort prepared to receive thee. Having entered on my 26th year, the second Feria, before the Feast of the Purification, at the close of day after Compline, thou, Lord, who art the true light shining in darkness, thou didst put an end to my spiritual obscurity and darkness, and to my youthful vanities. For at this time thou didst give me evident tokens of thine amazing charity and of thine amiable presence, and thou didst teach me by a loving reconciliation to know thee and to love thee. And having made me enter into my interior, which was until then unknown to me, thou didst act towards me in marvelous and hidden ways, so that thou didst seem to take the same delight in dwelling in my soul as a friend in living with his friend, or a bridegroom with his bride. Thou didst visit me then at different times and in different ways to preserve this commerce of charity, but especially on the vigil of the Annunciation and before the Ascension, commencing thy work on that day in the morning and completing it after Compline by granting me that favor which ought to be a subject of admiration and reverence to all creatures, namely, that from that hour until now I never found thee absent from my heart for a single instant when I entered therein, except once when thou wert absent for 11 days. As I cannot express by my words either the number or the value of the gifts thou hast bestowed on me, permit me, O giver of gifts, to offer thee in thanksgiving a sacrifice of joy in a spirit of humility, especially for having prepared a dwelling in my heart according to thy desire and mine, so that I have neither heard nor read anything of the temple of Solomon or the palace of Assyrius, which seemed to me preferable to the delights which, thanks to thy grace, have been placed in me, and which thou hast permitted my unworthiness to share with thee as a queen with a king. But there are two favors which I especially esteem. The first is that thou hast imprinted on my heart the glorious marks of thy saving wounds, and that thou hast truly and deeply pierced this same heart with the wound of thy love, so that even if thou hadst never granted me a greater consolation, either exteriorly or interiorly, thou hast conferred such happiness on me by these two alone, that even if I live for 1,000 years, I should find each hour more consolation, thanksgiving, and instruction than I could possibly contain. Besides these things, thou hast also granted me thy secret friendship by opening the sacred ark of thy divinity, I mean thy deified heart, to me in so many manners as to be the source of all my happiness, sometimes imparting it freely, sometimes as a special mark of our mutual friendship, exchanging it for mine. Thou hast also revealed to me hidden mysteries concerning thy judgments and thy beatitudes, and thou hast so often melted my soul by thy loving caresses that if I did not know the abyss of thy overflowing condescensions, I should be amazed were I told that even thy blessed mother, who reigns with thee in heaven, had been chosen to receive such extraordinary marks of tenderness and affection. By all these marks of thy gentle love, thou hast led me to a salutary knowledge of my faults, and at the same time spared my shame with so much charity that, pardon me for saying it, it would seem as if the loss of half thy kingdom were less to thee than to cause me a momentary confusion for my imperfections. Therefore, in order to make them known to me, thou didst use this wise expedient, discovering to me the defects which displeased thee in others, and of which, when I entered into myself, I found I was more guilty than they were, although thou didst not give me the least sign of having perceived them in me. Further, thou hast won my soul by thy faithful promises of benefits at my death and after it. And if I had only obtained this favor from thee, it would be sufficient to fill my heart with the most lively hope and desire. But the ocean of thy infinite mercy was not yet exhausted, for thou hast heard the frequent prayers which I address to thee for sinners, for their souls, or for other considerations. And so great have been these favors that I have not yet found one to whom I could discover them as I know them myself, on account of the pusillanimity of the human heart, which is slow of belief. To crown all these benefits, thou hast given me thy sweetest mother, the Blessed Virgin, for my advocate, and thou hast lovingly recommended me to her many times, with the same ardor as a faithful bridegroom would recommend his beloved bride to his own mother. Thou hast also often sent the princes of thy court to minister to me, not only from the choirs of angels and archangels, but even those of higher rank, as thy kindness, my God, judged it expedient for my advancement in spiritual exercises. But when, for my soul's good, thou hast deprived me for a time of some of thy delights, I have yielded to a weak and shameful ingratitude, and have forgotten thy gifts, as if they had been of no benefit to me. And if by thy grace I discovered what I had lost, and asked thee to restore it, or to grant me some other favor, thou didst immediately give me all, as if it had been a deposit which I had entrusted to thy keeping. Besides these favors, thou didst grant me others of the utmost value, especially on the day of thy nativity, the Sunday Estomihi, and also another Sunday after Pentecost. Thou didst elevate me, or rather thou didst ravish me to so close a union with thyself, that I marvel more than at a miracle how I have lived since then as a creature amongst creatures, and even more amazed and even horrified that I have not amended my faults as I was bound to do. Nevertheless, the fountain of thy mercy has not dried up for me, O Jesus, of all lovers the most loving, or rather the only one who loves the ungrateful truly and disinterestedly. For after a time, having forgotten my vileness, unworthy that I am, and having begun to disrelish those things which are the joy and praise of heaven and earth, if it were only because an infinite God had abased himself unreservedly towards a vile and abject worm, thou, the giver, renovator, and preserver of every good, thou didst arouse me from my torpor and excite me to gratitude by revealing to a certain person who was very devout to thee and familiar with thee some particulars of the gifts which thou hast bestowed on me, which they could not have known by human means, since I had not revealed them to any human being, so that I heard from their lips what was only known to my secret heart. As I recall these words and others, the glory of which is due to thee alone, I will sing a canticle on a harmonious instrument which is none other than thy divine heart, by the virtue of the Spirit of Consolation. Eternal Father, may all that is in heaven, on earth, or in the deep, may all these things which have been, which are, or which will be, render thee thanks and praise. Even as gold shines most clearly when surrounded by various colors, even as black appears darker by contrast with them, so is the blackness of my ungrateful life, when compared with the splendor of the divine benefits so abundantly bestowed on me. For as thou couldst not grant any favors that were not commensurate with thy royal liberality, I have only received them in my boorish ignorance and as an unfortunate abuser of thy graces. This thou didst, as it were, dissimulate by an effect of thy natural clemency, so that it appeared as if thou never didst more for me than when I did least for thee. And even when thou didst seek hospitality in my poor dwelling, thou who reposest in the loving bosom of thy celestial Father, I have been so negligent and so careless in entertaining thee that I should, even from natural humanity, have been bound to tend a leper with more care who had asked a shelter under my roof after overwhelming me with outrages and injuries. Far, O Lord, who adorned the stars with beauty, far from recognizing the graces thou didst bestow on me, whether by filling me with interior consolation, or by imprinting on me thy sacred wounds, or by revealing to me thy secrets, and even those of thy friends, or by giving me marks of thy friendship and tenderness greater than could have been found had the earth been traversed from east to west, I have been so ungrateful as to outrage thee by despising these things, by seeking strange pleasures, and by preferring the bitterness of exterior things to the sweetness of thy celestial manna. I have distrusted thy promises, O God of truth, as if thou wert a man who couldst lie or fail in thy fidelity. Alas, I have also offended the goodness with which thou hast heard my unworthy prayers so favorably, by hardening my heart against thy will, and as I ought to declare with tears in my eyes, sometimes pretending not to understand thy will, lest the reproaches of my conscience should oblige me to obey it. I have also despised the aid of thy most glorious mother, and that of the blessed spirits whom thou hast sent to me, and I've been so unhappy as to prove an obstacle even to my earthly friends, on whom I have leaned, instead of relying on thee alone. And far from increasing my gratitude and my vigilance over my faults, on seeing that thy charity continued thy favors, notwithstanding my negligence, I, on the contrary, returned thee evil for good, like a tyrant, or rather like a demon, and had the hardihood to live even more carelessly. But my greatest fault is that after the incredible union which I have had with thee, and which is known to thee alone, I have not feared to sully my soul again with the same defects which thou hast permitted to continue in me, in order that I might conquer them, and thus obtain greater glory with thee in heaven. I have sinned also in that when thou didst discover to my friends thy hidden favors, to excite my gratitude, I failed in accomplishing thy designs therein, by rejoicing in a human manner, and neglecting to correspond with thy designs by the duty of gratitude. And now, O adorable Creator of my soul, permit the groans of my heart to rise even to heaven in expiation of all these faults, and of others which thou mayest yet bring to my recollection. Accept my grief for the immense number of offenses which I have committed against the nobleness of thy divine goodness. I offer it to thee with all the gratitude and all the reverence which thou hast enabled me, for all in heaven and on earth and in the deep, through the merit of thy beloved Son, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Since, then, I am altogether incapable of producing worthy fruits of penance, I implore thy mercy, O my sweetest love, to inspire those hearts which have sufficient fidelity and zeal to appease thee by a sacrifice of propitiation, to repair for my defects by their sighs, their prayers, and other good works, and to pay the debt of praise which I owe to thee alone, O Lord my God. Because, as thou seest the bottom of my heart, thou knowest that I have only written these things from a pure love of thy glory, in order that many who shall read them after my death may be touched by thy sweetness and clemency, considering the greatness of thy love which has abased itself so low for the salvation of mankind as to permit such numerous and precious gifts to be abused, as I, alas, have abused them. But I give thanks with all my might, O Lord, my Creator and Recreator, to thine infinite mercy, that from the abyss of thy overflowing goodness thou hast made known to me that whosoever shall remember me, as I have said above, for thy glory, either by praying for sinners, or by giving thanks for the elect, or by any other good works, shall not leave this world until thou hast granted him the grace to become pleasing to thee, and so order his heart that thou mayest find joy and pleasure therein. For which may eternal praise be given to thee, which shall return without ceasing to the uncreated love whence it proceeded. Chapter 24. Conclusion of this book. Behold, O loving Lord, I offer thee the talent of thy condescending intimacy, which thou hast confided to me, vile creature that I am. I have traded with it for love of thy love in that which I have written, or which I may yet write. And I can boldly declare by thy grace that I have had no other motive in saying or writing these things, except that of obeying thy will, of promoting thy glory, and of zeal for the salvation of souls. I desire, therefore, that all should praise thee and give thee thanks, that my unworthiness has not caused thee to withdraw thy mercy from me. I desire also that thou shouldst be praised for those who, reading these things, are charmed with the sweetness of thy charity, and inwardly drawn to desire the same, and also for those who, studying them as students, commence with the alphabet and attain to philosophy, thus being led by the perusal of these things as by pictures and images to search for the hidden manna, which increases the hunger of those who partake of it, and which is not found in corporal substances. Therefore, since thou, the almighty dispenser of all good things, dost vouchsafe to pasture us during our exile, until, beholding the glory of the Lord with unveiled countenance, we are transformed into his image, and from glory to glory by the power of the Spirit of love. Meanwhile, according to thy faithful promises and the humble desire of my heart, grant, I beseech thee, to all who read these writings with humility, the peace of thy love, compassion for my miseries, and a salutary compunction for their furtherance in perfection, so that elevating our hearts towards Thee with burning love, they may be like so many golden censers, whose sweet odor shall abundantly supply all my negligence and ingratitude. Amen. Thus we conclude the Revelations of St. Gertrude, as written by St. Gertrude. We continue now with Part 3, The Revelations of St. Gertrude, compiled by the religious of her monastery. Chapter 1. Our Lord gives His Blessed Mother to St. Gertrude to be her mother, in order that she may have recourse to her in all her afflictions. St. Gertrude, having learned by divine revelation that she was about to endure some trial for the increase of her merit, began to fear through human weakness. But the Lord had compassion on her infirmity, and gave her His most merciful mother, the Empress of Heaven, for her mother and for her dispenser, so that when the burden of her grief appeared beyond her strength, she might always have recourse to this Mother of Mercy, and by her intervention obtain relief. Sometime after, as she was much grieved because a devout person obliged her to reveal the singular favors with which God had honored her on the preceding feast, she had recourse to the mother of the afflicted in order to learn from her what she ought to do on this occasion. "Give freely what you possess," she replied, "for my son is rich enough to repay all that you expend for his glory." But as the saint desired to conceal as much as possible the great favors granted to her, even while she partly revealed them, she desired to know from her heavenly spouse how far her conduct was agreeable to him. Prostrating herself at his feet, she implored him to make known his will to her and to give her the desire of accomplishing it. Her confidence merited for her this reply, which she received from the divine mercy: "Give my money to the bank, that when I come I may receive it with usury." And thus she learned that the reasons which she had considered good and even inspired by the Spirit of God were merely human, so that from henceforth she imparted more freely what was revealed to her, and not without reason. For Solomon has declared, "It is the glory of God to conceal the word, and the glory of kings to search out the speech." Chapter 2. Adversity is the spiritual ring with which the soul is betrothed to God. As Gertrude offered to God in her prayers all that she suffered in body and mind, and all the pleasures of which she had deprived herself, whether in the flesh or the spirit, our Lord appeared to her, and showed her the pleasures and the pains which she had offered to Him under the form of two rings, enriched with precious stones, which he wore to adorn his hands. The saint, perceiving this, repeated the offering frequently, and when suffering a corporal affliction some time afterwards, she beheld Jesus, her Lord, touch her left eye with the ring which he carried in his left hand, and which represented corporal afflictions and sufferings. And from this moment she felt extreme suffering in this eye, which she had beheld our Lord touch in spirit, and this pain was never entirely removed. She knew from this that as the ring is the sign of espousal, so also sufferings in body or mind are testimonies of the spiritual espousal of the soul with God, so that whoever suffers may say confidently and with all truth, "My Lord Jesus Christ has espoused me to Him with His ring." And if he recognizes in those afflictions the graces which he has received and returns thanks, he may add, "He has adorned me with a crown as his spouse." Because thanksgiving in tribulation is a crown of glory more brilliant than gold and incomparably more precious than topaz. Chapter 3. Human consolation weakens that which is divine. Gertrude received another plain testimony, although she did not understand it very well at first, that contradictions and privation of consolation in suffering greatly increase merit. On a certain day, about the Feast of Pentecost, as she suffered such severe pain in her side that those who were present feared her last hour had arrived, her beloved, the true consoler of her soul, retired from her, and thus increased her suffering, although the cares and attentions of those who surrounded her were redoubled. Whereas, when she was less carefully attended, this loving Lord remained near her to solace the severity of her pain by his presence, thus making her understand that when we are deprived of human consolation, the divine mercy regards us most favorably. Towards evening, as the saint was worn out by acute suffering, she sought to obtain some mitigation of it from our Lord. But he raised his right arm and showed her the pain she had endured all day as a precious ornament on his bosom. As this ornament appeared so perfect and so complete in every part, she rejoiced, hoping that her suffering would now cease. But our Lord replied, "What you suffer after this will add brightness to this ornament." And certainly, although it was garnished with precious stones, the gold appeared dark and dull. What she suffered afterwards was not so grievous in itself, but she was more tried by being deprived of consolation than by the acuteness of the pain. Let us continue with the revelations of St. Gertrude and the temptations to impatience and sadness on side B.